Hey, hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The Fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul. I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him. Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward. This is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him. Beats, bars, and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution with only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Solid ground when we land. Say it's no use, the culture is out of hand. But not out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days for the sunshine, and it good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot, go with it, keep it a beat, so the plot don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa rain here. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we paint better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Yes, sir. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on SiriusXM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy, DJ Focus, checking in.
And it's your girl, Dice Gamble, in the building, checking in on this Tiptoe Tuesday. Tiptoe. Y'all wake up.
Please wake up.
Yeah. Come on. Wake up.
Listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're so grateful that we get another opportunity to wake up in our right state of mind and feeling pretty good this morning. If you're just getting up with us, come on, wake up with us. Come on and get that coffee moving. Get that smoothie juice jumping. I know y'all might be either on the way to work, getting ready for work, or maybe driving to work. But listen, let's get up and go. Be great today, kings and queens. This is just another blessed day. Once again, you're tuned into The Fix, and of course, our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. Listen, we got another exclusive spiritual detox for y'all today. We're going to get our brother on the line, our brother Tavinci. He's a super talented, Stellar Award-winning songwriter, singer, artist, musician. He does a little bit of everything. He got a project that he dropped not too long ago, maybe about a month ago. It's called No Complaints, a little EP. So, we're going to talk about the music, talk about his journey. A lot of you guys may know Tavinci from being one of the background singers with Pastor Mike Jr., as well as other artists in the gospel game and mainstream game, too, as well. So keep it locked with that exclusive spiritual detox. And listen, Dice, you're going to dive into this real talk. I don't know. It's your Christians, struggling. The Christians struggling with staying sober. Just trying to fight them addictions or something. Something we're going to talk about. I don't know. It's Tiptoe Tuesday. I'm trying to, make sure, we're going to tiptoe around it, or we're going to just hit them upside the head with that word.
We're just going to tiptoe on in it. Obviously being sober and having a sober mind is something we're called to have in the faith. And it's a struggle, though, for a lot of people. So today we're going to talk about the why. Like, why is it a struggle? Are you having a problem staying sober? And what are the effects of that? Because, when you make these choices, there are consequences that come rolling right on behind your lack of sobriety. So we're going to get on in. We're going to tip on in on Tuesday. Did you know that Tuesday is considered the most productive day of the week?
Tuesday is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we better get to work. We better get to work. Listen, we got music on the way from, new Angie Rose on the way, as well as, let's get some Big Breeze this morning. That Scooty Wop, that Freshie off the hook, too, as well. Got to play that again. That's a certified banger. But right now, listen, let's get it. Our little sis. Let's get it. Lin Sango and Wande. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
New videos, music, articles, devos, and more. Stay connected. Get the app now so you don't miss a thing. Visit holyculture.net.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, you tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on SiriusXM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. Stop playing. Y'all know what time it is. Let's get into it. It's time for our spiritual detox. And listen, we got a treat for y'all today, man. I'm be honest with y'all. I was gigging on my bro before he even stepped out into his solo career. I was already, He's connected to family. Shouts out to Pastor Mike Jr. and everybody, the whole Black Smoke family. That's family over there. But besides one other lead singer that backs up, you know, backup singer for Pastor Mike, everybody talks about Idea. But it was always this one little just, you know what I'm saying, swag, had this swag about himself on the stage, too. Like, wait a minute, she might be up there on the right. I'm on the left, though. Don't sleep on me. But yeah. But I always noticed him from afar, man. Every time I saw him perform, I just saw something in his presence. So when he did music, I was like, hey, let me reach out. It's only Evan. I need to speak with him for a second. So listen, help me welcome in a super talented songwriter, producer, artist. Listen, Stellar Award winner. Stop playing. He got some of them too as well. He was in the conversation with everybody, just like everybody else. My brother, T-Vinci. What's going on, T-Vinci?
What's going on, Focus? How you doing, man?
Man, all is well, man. Like I told you, a wise man once told me, it's hard, but it's fair. So we grinding out here.
Yes, sir, man. It's an honor. It's an honor and a privilege to be, man, here on The Fix, man. I'm excited.
Oh, man, listen, honor's all mine. I tell people all the time, especially artists and stuff, I say, as long as y'all keep making bangers, I got a job. So I appreciate you.
I love it, man. Receive, bro, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So for somebody who may not know you, speak a little bit, give us a little bit of the backstory of kind of like your faith journey and what kind of got you into music.
Man, so music has been a part of my life since I was a child, man. My father and my mother, my dad's a pastor. So, of course, grew up in the church. And so what got me on my personal journey, man, literally in 2014, I stepped out on faith, moved to Birmingham, Alabama. Me and my wife, we connected with Rock City, connected with Pastor Mike Jr. And man, from there, it just went from there, man. Literally just watching him and watching his success and just feeding off of him. And of course, him and of course, my brother as well, Late Boom, who produced my entire project. So that's kind of what got me into it. But really, just from a child, that's all I've been around.
What's that one thing you wish you could have changed? I mean, you grew up as a PK, so I always ask all my PKs, if you could have changed something, what could you have changed? What's that one thing when you became an adult, you went to your pops and you went to your mom and say, listen, y'all need to stop this.
Man, I wish it would have been just a little bit more freedom. Focus, just a tad, not too much, just a little bit. But you know, when you're the pastor's son, they say the PKs is the worst ones. And so, you know, my parents didn't want me to live with that stigma. And so they kind of sheltered me a little bit. I was sheltered growing up a little bit, you know. But that's the only thing. Other than that, man, it was amazing.
How did that affect you once you became an adult? I hear you say you were sheltered a little bit. Did that affect you socially, social skills, or like talk about that a little bit?
So naturally, growing up in the church, being a PK, they forced us to do certain stuff. So really singing and being in front of people, it was really their platform that gave me the confidence and everything I needed to kind of, you know, do things myself as far as musically. So it wasn't necessarily socially, but what it did, it challenged me to go out myself and find, you know, just different things. You know, you grow up, you get into these ways, you get in certain circles and, you know, pick up certain things. And so, but the thing I love and I respect and honor about both of my parents is the fact that what they instilled in me didn't leave me. You know, of course, we know the Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. And so God never let me get too far because of what they instilled in me.
That's good. Do you feel like God has a call on you to be a pastor one day?
Man, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I can't even answer that question.
You say that's not on your prayer list. That you ain't been praying for that one, huh?
No, sir. Not at all. No, sir.
You know, I know we're coming out the back end of it, of the pandemic. It's pretty much over. But I know the pandemic taught a lot of churches that they needed to, one, be able to go with the times. A lot of people, you know, were not prepared for the pandemic. You know, when you talk about virtual streaming and everything that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Now, on the flip side, that since we're done and everybody's kind of upgrade, do you think the church has become more entertaining compared to more Bible-based teaching?
I think it depends. I can speak for Rock City. I know Rock City is going to always be Bible-based. You know, Rock City, Pastor Mike Jr., is always going to be Bible-based. But you get a little mix of both. And that's what I love. You know what I mean? You get what you need. And the thing I love about it, I tell him this all the time. I said, you are unique because you have the ability to touch every generation and every emotion in one sermon. That's the thing I love about him. Literally, you can, whether you're a seasoned saint, or whether you're a millennial like myself, like you're going to feel at some point in the message that, yo, this is for me. Like, and no matter what stage of life I'm in. And so that's the thing I love. And I can only speak for Rock City, you know, but yes, sir.
No, that's good. How was it, man? When you first, you know, met Pastor Mike Jr. And then you've been with him the journey. Like, so like how was that? Speak to that. And where was everybody like surprised of the success, like so quickly?
Man. So I think, so my personal journey, I was just sharing this with somebody. We moved down here. Literally everything in our life took off fast. Me and my wife. So I'm from Indiana, living in Indiana, 2014. Holy Spirit tells us to move to Birmingham, Alabama. So we jump, we get engaged June 30th, get married August 24th, and then move here to Birmingham, Alabama, September 14th. Right. So weren't going to church. My wife's like, hey, we need to find a place to go. We go to Rock City, literally the first Sunday, Holy Spirit was crazy. I was like, look, if he tries to preach through this, I don't know if it's our church. Because, you know, typically I love when the Holy Spirit flows, we let him have his way, right? He flows, let the Holy Spirit have his way. It's crazy. So my wife's like, this is it. I'm like, ah, give me a second. I don't know. You know, we got to do a little bit more, you know. So second time we come back, second Sunday, the very next Sunday, he calls me and my wife into his office. Never met him before, didn't know who he was. Prophesy everything in your life, getting ready to take off fast. That was 2014. I'm still connected. I still remember, like, even when he was starting to get back into music, his first session, you know, I knew him, my brother did. We go to my brother's studio and he records something. And then, you know, from there, it's just big happened. It was a moment in church. I'm standing on stage and he says, and it's going to be big. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Little did I know it would turn into that. And so I do think you have your people who are surprised, like, where did he come from? But also for me, I'm enjoying the journey watching. I'm a fan. Like, that's the thing I love. I'm a fan seeing everything that God is doing in his life. And to be connected to that, man, that caliber, man, is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Shouts out to our bro. That's yes, my bro, man, Pastor yes, Mike Jr. Listen, DJ Folks, you're tapping to The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. Listen, we got to go to a quick break. We're coming back. I promise you, don't touch that dial. We got more coming up with Convention. Keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix. You know The Fix is in. Welcome back, DJ Focus. You're tuned back into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM Channel 154. Listen, we still got Tavinci on with us this morning, and we chopping it, man. Let's talk about it, man. So who were some of your musical inspirations growing up? Like, who kind of inspired you to really, like, get into music?
Man, so I would definitely say James Fortune. James Fortune, your Kirk Franklins, your Jonathan McReynolds, like, just basically all of those, you know, that whole conglomerate of, you know, different artists and stuff like that, for sure. Yep.
So when did you know you had it, though? So it's one thing to be inspired by these artists. I get it. Grow up, maybe singing in the choir, mm-hmm. playing, you know, an instrument in church. But when did you know, no, I could really do this on a professional level?
When I tried it, so literally in 2013, there was a project I did, you know, an EP. It was entitled Stand Out. And so always been into writing. Music has always been in my family. And so do this EP, Stand Out. And I was like, once it finished, I was like, whoa, this actually, I think we may have something. And then there's also a feeling of just being called to it. You have a feeling when you know you're called to something. And I believe God doesn't give you a gift just for anything. And so I believe that the gift that God has given me is unique. You know, everybody has a gift that's unique to them. And so, man, once I was able to write and, you know, have an idea of how I want stuff done, like a little bit of production in there too. Like, I think we should put this here. I think this should. I was like, okay, you know, maybe able to. Let's see what we can do. You know, let's see what God wants to do.
So talk a little bit about your creative process. Like, what does it look like for you when you go in the studio? Are you one that, you know, I know you do a little producing, you do the songwriting. Are you writing out your content first? Do you have to hear a beat first? Are you, you know, you melodic where you got to start, you know, humming things? Like, walk us through your creative process.
So it really just depends. Like, a lot of times, especially where the creative space I'm in now, a lot of stuff just comes to me on the fly. So if you look through my phone, there's a ton of voice notes, right? And so what I did starting out, I had reached out to a few producers just to see if I could get some tracks and stuff like that. And there may have been a few, but not really what I was looking for, man. So literally, I got on YouTube and just typed in certain instrumentals. I uploaded those to Logic and just started writing stuff, you know, to that. And so when I, with this particular project, when I took everything to my brother, it was like, hey, bro, here's the ideas. And so I kind of gave him an idea of what I was looking for creatively. But it really just depends. Sometimes, like, for example, me and Adia song on a project called Way Up. My brother, we walked into the studio. He was making that track. We walked in and was like, oh, we need to create some of this. Like, let's create something. And so that's what came out of it, Way Up. So it really just depends. But either or.
What's that one thing you've learned from doing music? So you've been doing it for a little while now. What's that one thing mm-hmm. that you kind of learned that kind of like sticked out to you, like that wow moment, like, wow, I never thought this would happen, or I never thought I would be on this stage. Like, what's that one wow moment in your music career so far?
Trusting God. That's I can't, everything that I'm doing, everything, every place that I get to experience, you know, traveling with a Pastor Mike Jr., is just trust and faith in God. And I could go on and on, but literally every step of my life, I've had to literally let go of what I desire, let go of what I wanted and say, okay, God, like, you got it. Like, nah, you got it. So that's the number one thing to me. No matter what I do in life, it will always be, if I'm trying to do this without him, it's not going to work. But I know for a fact, if I keep my trust in him, we let him handle it.
Wow. Were there ever moments where, you know, you kind of were like, you know, hesitant to kind of like submit to God, like, you know, to like that, like, because that, to your point, you're right. That takes a lot of faith and a lot of submission. Were there ever moments where you're like, nah, I don't know?
There have been several moments, man. And literally, and I'm not ashamed to speak on it, you know, I went to therapy. Bro, I was trying to figure out, like, you know, of course, I believe in prayer. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all that. But I went to therapy. There were some things in my life that were causing blockages, that was hindering me from getting to the next level. And there have been some past experience in my life that I had to deal with. And so going to therapy and literally just sitting down and saying, okay, God, like, I trust the plan that you have for me, even though I can't see the plan that you have for me. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with our generation is we want to know. Like, we have to have all the details, and God is not always a God of all the details. Sometimes he's a God of previews, where I'll let you see where you're going, but I'm not going to let you see everything you have to go through to get there. And so for me, that's why I say trust in God, because there was steps I'm like, God, I didn't expect this, like, but I still trust you.
That's good. And we talk all the time about therapy and how the importance of therapy on here, whether it be spiritually through, you know, your pastor, your elder, or like you say, if you have to go to a clinician and you know, get the help you need. Either way, you should make sure,
yes,
you get the help you need. So I'm glad you spoke about that too as well. You know, let's have a little fun, man. Let's before we finish,
okay,
talking about this project. You know, what you can pick one, you keep one, you got to go. So first off, you going Ricky Dillard or Charles Jenkins?
Ricky Dillard.
You going the Clark Sisters or the Winans?
Ooh, you challenging me here, Focus. Man.
Yeah, I knew this would be good.
Clark Sisters.
You sure?
That was a good one. No, I'm not sure.
All right. Next one. Designer. Because I know you like fashion a little bit. You going Louis Vuitton or you going Gucci?
I take Louis.
You going, yep. You going Jumpman or you going Yeezy?
All right. It's a difference. We talking Jumpman or we talking Jordan? It's a difference between Jumpman and Jordan.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I was just using whatchamacallit's line. Yeah, I'm talking Mike. Ain't nobody wearing the yeah, don't do that. So you know what? Now you're gonna get me all out of character. So let's be very clear. Mike, we love you. Mike, if you ever listen to this, Mike, we love you. But there is a difference between your retros and your signature shoes compared to the team Jordans that you put out. So yes, nobody really rocks with the team Jordans unless you just a hooper that just need them just, you know, to hoop in. Outside of that, yeah, we're going retro. So yeah, you going Jordan or you going Yeezys?
I'm going Jordan all day.
Listen, if you could pick two artists from any genre of music, mm-hmm. dead or alive, to form a super group, what two artists you picking?
From any genre, dead or alive.
Yes, sir.
Give me Pastor Mike Jr. And give me Drake.
Oh wow. Yeah, that ain't even fair. Wow. I know Pastor Mike will love that too as well.
Give me Pastor Mike Jr. and give me Drake and we let's go. Let's go.
In your humble opinion, talk about the current state of gospel music. I'm glad you brought up Drake because, of course, you know, he's secular. He's on the mainstream side. But just talk about, in your mm-hmm. humble opinion, where do you think we line up sonically with mainstream music, the gospel realm?
I think we have all the gift. I think we have all the talent. I think we have the songs. I think our message is different. That's the only thing. And when I look at where gospel music is right now, I love where it's going. I love the fact that you have, and I'm going to always bring up a Pastor Mike Jr. I'm going to bring up an Adia who's really pushing the envelope and being real with their music. Like I told, hit Adia like this morning, I was like, yo, I said, the way that you sung the trauma interlude off of her project, Hold It All Together, and how real and how raw and how authentic it was. I said, I love it. But then I also, on the other side, love how a Pastor Mike Jr. can do a feature with the Tamela Man and do a feature with the Kier Shear, but then come out the gate on his latest project entitled Impossible with a Count My Blessings. And it have the beat and the vibe that it has. Like, so I love where it's at. And so I think put us up against anybody and let's go.
That's what's up. That's what's up. If you could change one thing in gospel music, what would you change?
I would probably say it would be collaborations. I want to see more collaborations. I would love to see that. I would love to see more collaborations from the other side, the secular side on our side. Like I would love to see a Pastor Mike Jr. Drake. I would love to see a Tank with one of like a Myself and a Tank. Like I would love to see that. It'll bring so much, and then the message would be a positive message as well. So I would love to see it. That's the only thing.
No, that's good, and I'm glad you brought up collaborations specifically with mainstream artists. Where do you think we are with bridging the gap? So I know a lot of the mainstream artists, let's be very clear, they have the gospel roots, uh-huh. and I do believe a lot of them are believers. But, of course, the question always mm-hmm. comes up with lifestyle and the fruit that they sometimes show that, you know, kind of contradicts mm-hmm. what we believe. So where do you think we are mm-hmm. With bridging the gap and being able to make those connections and be able to disciple and everything that goes into that?
No, I think we've even seen some of it. If you look at Tasha Cobbs, who featured Nicki Minaj, like, I mean, I think we're there. I think when you see what PJ Morton is doing, you know, certain people like that, I think the gap is being bridged. I think us as a whole, as just Christians in general, we got to stop judging. We do a lot of judging, you know, and I think once we get over that just because I may not live the way you live doesn't mean I don't know the God that you know. You know, and so I think once we get to that spot, man, I think we'll be good. But I think right now you're starting to see it more. You're starting to see it more.
Where's the balance at? I'm glad you brought up the J word, because we always, like you said, that's one of the Christian words that's always used, judgment. Mm-hmm. Where's the balance at, though, between judgment and accountability as you build the relationship? Because I know the accountability is relational. You build that with them. Mm-hmm. So where's the balance between judgment versus accountability?
So I think I used to hear this phrase growing up. I've even heard, you know, Pastor Mike Jr. say, you have to, I want to say it correctly. You have to catch a fish before you clean it, essentially. Right. And so I think if we, with our lifestyles on this side, on the side that's on the gospel side, on the Christian side, if we, with our lifestyles, will win that with love, like if we will literally love and we catch that, then that's where everything begins. Right. Some of us didn't come from growing up in church. Right. And so because of that, I really believe, man, if we lead with love and we don't allow that the life that they're living. And here's the thing I love, like real quick. I love the fact that when you look in the scriptures, you see Jesus hanging with sinners. And his response when he was getting criticized about it says, do the well need a physician? Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, these are the ones who need me. And so I'm going to love them. I'm going to show them love. And so I really believe if we stop doing so much judging and start embracing, I really believe we'll start to see a change.
That's good. That's good. Listen, tell the people about your project, man. It's EP out now, right now, man.
Hey, man, listen, No Complaints is available everywhere. We're number 3 on iTunes charts, man. Listen, I need you to go get it, download it, stream it. You will love it, man. It's a combination of so many different things, right? You're gonna turn up with me. You're going to hear the singing. It's going to hit you emotionally. You're going to love it, man. It's available everywhere.
Listen, we appreciate you rocking with us this morning, man. To Vinci, man, tell the people how they connect with you, follow you on all your social media platforms, as well as introduce your latest single.
Hey, listen, man. So right now you can follow me everywhere, all social media platforms at The Da Vinci Code, THETVINCICODE, The Da Vinci Code. And we're getting into this joint right now. This is the one right now with me and my sis Adia. It's called Way Up. It's a vibe. It's a bop. I need you to share it, stream it, all that right now.
Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in. Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's about to get real in these streets. It's time for our Real Talk conversation. And Dice, let's hop into it. We got to talk about it today. Real Talk conversation today. Oh, I don't know. The importance of staying sober.
Yeah. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? This is an uncomfortable subject for a lot of people, and it's something that people don't want to deal with. And for the main reason, it's not what you're seeing on the surface is something deep down. And people are typically terrified of sitting with themselves, you know? So they just mask and cope, mask and cope, mask and cope. Get me through the day. Get me to sleep. Yeah. I mean, the average person that drink don't even want to drink. They're just drinking to go to bed. You know?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have my scripture up. So let's be very clear. Thessalonians 5:6-8. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep at night, and for those who drink, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as the breastplate, and the hope of salvation as the helmet. Mm-hmm. So to your point, I'm glad you brought that up. You're absolutely right. I do know a lot of people who can't sleep, who deal with insomnia issues, or frustrated and distressed out. Mm-hmm. And instead of dealing with the issue, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, to your point, yes, they just get, we call it pissy drunk around my way. Pissy yeah. drunk. Yeah. And go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough, you know, because people are dealing with so much. So they're just looking for an easier way to get through the day. And, you know, alcohol is definitely something that has, you know, people have easy access to this, you know, easy access. And they just think that it's not causing any damage, but it is. It's an addictive issue, you know, you not being sober. And it also damages your brain, you know, damages your liver, damages your everything, your kidneys, like damages happening as you're just trying to deal with life. You know, but life throws a lot of things your way, you know, death, loss of job, loss of, you know, parents or kids, or you got to change all of a sudden, or you lose your money, you know, like things happen, you know, and we have to lean on God and get some of his courage to face our fears, you know. But like, people are struggling out here with sobriety really bad.
And I think the biggest thing is self-control. When you talk about the discipline you have to have that self-control to fight off that addiction, that battle. You know, we brought it up. We brought this topic back up because we talked about it on our Winning Prescription. Listen, if you're not tuned in every Friday to the Winning Prescription, you're sleeping. Let me know how that pillow feel. But we brought up What Up RG's song. He has a song called Sober. And we're going to play it today, too, as well. Featuring Beam and Paris Careers. And it just went through. I love the fact that all three of them talked about different addictions that they struggle with while they were trying to, you know, reach to that goal to get clean or stop, you know, doing whatever, whether it was alcohol, whether it was pills, whether it was weed, whatever it may have been. They were working to get back to that place. They knew they needed to be sober to do what God called them to do, but they were just caught up. And that's why I said, What Up RG? He talked about it. He said self-control. Self-control was huge to him, and he had to learn to discipline himself to have that self-control to not take, you know, that substance.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, my family has a couple of alcoholics, and it's still, I don't know if you grew up in a home where there was drinking all the time. It affects you, you know. I remember I had never even tasted alcohol, and I remember my mom used to be like, "You want to taste it?" I'm like, "No." Like, first of all, it stank. You know what I'm saying? Second of all, it burned your throat. Okay, when I finally tasted it, I was like, "Ugh," you know. But and I never understood the want for alcohol until like I got in my 20s, and I think I shared the story with you before. I moved to Georgia, and I was just going through a whole lot. Really, you're young, you know, you just turned 21, and for me, being in, I wasn't doing gospel music at all. I was doing secular music. I was in a group in a band, and we drank all the time. I mean, that was just a thing. You drinking, you smoking, you doping, you doing everything. Like, you're out here in the world, let's get it in. And the one thing that made me stop drinking like that was one day I woke up from a party and I poured all the drinks in one cup just to get my day started. And somebody had actually emptied blunt guts in one cup. And so when I threw it back, just to feel it hit the back of your throat, talking about just wet pieces of tobacco mixed in with God knows what. Yeah. Slowed me down real good.
Yeah, so, it didn't want to slow you down. You was woke in. You thought you was asleep. Oh, you woke now. What's going on around here?
All the way. You know, God will use anything to get your attention. Like, baby girl, you were doing the absolute most. Okay. But no, yeah, you could walk in alcoholism really easy and not even know it. But the song, because you said we're going to play the song later, Sober. I thought this was a beautiful idea. I love how each one of these artists were transparent, and some of them were uber transparent, you know, like, I don't like being sober, you know, because I'm stuck. You know what I mean? Like, if I could be honest, you know, I'm still not in that place where I'm okay, you know, and it's okay to not be okay, but you need to know where you are, you know, and you need to know exactly what that really looks like. So it's something called alcohol use disorder. That's what it's called now. We call it alcoholism or alcoholics. And obviously it's growing a little bit. But you have 16.6 million males ages 12 and older who suffer from this disease. 13 million females ages 12 and older. I'm like, children are drinking at super young ages now. And I just wanted to throw that out there, because I'm like, you think your 12-year-old ain't out here getting drunk every night, but they might be. So you need to go check in. That's why you got to be involved in your kids' life. It's very, very important. 3.5 million of these alcoholics are African Americans.
Wow.
Age 12. So, yeah. I mean, we need to tap in a little bit sooner, but there are 16.3 million men over the age of 18 who are alcoholics, 12.4 million women over the age of 18 that are alcoholics. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. These are, to me, these are hard numbers, because honestly, you can't even drink till you're 21. So the fact you're stuck in that before that age, that's super concerning.
Well, I'm be honest with you. I started off drinking before 21. So to your point, unfortunately, because of, let's be very clear, Dice. And like I say, I didn't understand holding myself accountable at that time as I was growing up in my teenage years. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it was so accessible. Like, I'll just be honest. You could go to any party. Mm-hmm. You could go to the corner store. Mm-hmm. Like, you, yeah, yeah. You know, I started off drinking cheap wine, you know, for all my Thunderbird and my MD 2020 heads. Yeah, we started, we started off drinking this cheap wine that could probably kill us. Let's be very clear, because I don't even know what they even put in this stuff that gets you that wasted that quick. Like, you could chug one of them little, I don't even think it was a pint. It was like a little quarter little pint. You know, the one you could stick in your pants pocket that nobody knew about. You know, that little bottle was little. And I'm probably, when you chug that thing, 5 minutes later, I promise you see all the peoples. Yeah. Yeah. You all the way got that juice. You know, when you want to get that edge off and you think you wasn't cocky. Yeah. You cocky now. Yes. So I'm just saying that I was exposed to it early.
Yeah.
Did it early. It was on me. I used to blame other people, but no, I got to hold myself accountable. I chose. Nobody forced me. Nobody. I wasn't enslaved to being an alcoholic. Like, I literally chose to keep drinking and smoking and doing these things, but it was just in our face is what I'm saying. Like, everywhere I went, it was in our face. And I'll be honest with you, majority of the rap music I listened to, glorified it. I'm just being honest. So I'm not knocking the artists. They were telling stories, but they were telling stories that I want to go relive. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, when Gin and Juice came out with Snoop, yeah, I wanted. That's the first time I ever had any white liquor. I was a brown liquor drinker. I liked the cognac and brandy, but when Gin and Juice came out, I started drinking Seagram's and Bumpy Face and Bombay and. Yeah. I started drinking gin and juice. Yeah, Snoop Dogg is popular. He the hottest rapper out, and he say rolling down the street. You know what I'm saying? Endo, gin and juice, lay back. You know. So yeah, we. I'm just being honest. Yeah, I ain't the only one. Everybody, a lot of people listening to me right now come from that era. Yeah, we was all doing it. So I'm saying the culture sometimes was toxic in that way to where it was not talked to us enough to where we've seen some of the cool people who we thought we looked up to say, you know what, I made this song, but everybody's probably shouldn't do this, because I've seen a lot of people who struggled without drinking and their lives were destroyed. Let's be very clear, because unlike me, I was a functional alcoholic. They couldn't function. They wouldn't pay their bills. They would get evicted, cars getting repossessed. Just drinking, just doing drugs, just being honest. Yeah. So, like, I've seen it tear households up.
Yeah, I have PTSD from it. My mom dated an alcoholic druggie. You know, his name was D. And, you know, when they would get into it, she tried to lock him out and he'd break in. And then, yeah, of course, they got the fight going on. And that's why I tell the story all the time. Like, I was sleeping with a knife in the third grade because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have to run up in here and help her at any given moment, you know. I remember he broke in our house. He busted the windows when she locked them out, you know, kicked over the furniture. Like, I remember walking in and our tables were busted and glass was broken. And you're like, this is insane. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so alcoholism and addiction, they're very real. And if you were dealing with that in your household, it definitely is affecting you, and it's going to affect your children, you know, because they're watching this. And, you know, and some of this, like, they're going to think it's okay behavior, and it's not, you know, it's definitely not. And I'm glad you read the scripture straight out the Bible out the gate. Like, we are definitely to be of sober mind. You know what I mean? But alcoholism is where you cannot live without alcohol, you know, because it just doesn't feel right. It feels better being in a induced state. And so if you're starting to feel that way, you know, there's a lot of help out there for you. You can get help online. You can go to your local addiction help spot in your city. And I'd say get help sooner than later. Don't keep putting it off, you know, because, you know, you never know which way that can go. Like, it can really damage you in the end. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Reach out to somebody.
Yep. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. Listen, we're talking about it today. We're talking about, you know, the struggles of staying sober as a believer. We got to go to a quick break. Listen, we're going to get into this track right now. This is What Up RG featuring Beam and Pierce Career Sober. Keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio is operated by the Core Link Solution, a 501c ministry dedicated to empowering people to reach their potential. If you feel led to contribute to this mission, visit www.holyculture.net/donations.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. Listen, we're talking about it, you know, staying sober today on this Real Real today. And Dice, I was telling you off air, I know a lot of people who struggle with, you know, alcoholism, you know, popping pills, just, you know, addicts in general, you know, some form of addiction. They're always questioning God and wondering why this addiction is controlling them and taking their lives away from them. And they feel like their loved ones and everything that they got going on, because it has their mind control where they want to stop. They really do. But they can't fight the desire to stop.
Well, you ain't gonna be able to fight it alone. Not once you've given yourself the problem, you're gonna need some help getting out of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just how we're designed. You know, we are. The brain enjoys pleasure because we can't live a life of self-glorification and self-gratification. Like, it just, you know, it's not a good thing. And every type of substance affects your brain, even sugar. You know, everybody talk about sugar high, sugar rush. You eat all the sugar, and then what happens next? You're gonna go down. You know, you're gonna carb overload. Eating all that pizza and pasta, you're gonna pass out. Takes so much of anything, you know. But yeah, the brain, man, you know, it will you know, it creates stimulation too, you know. But the problem is, in the same breath that you're feeling all relaxed with whatever the drug or the alcohol that you're drinking is, you're damaging cells, you know. You're damaging everything, you know. So I don't know. I mean, it's addiction. I mean, but you can break it. I mean, that's the only thing I'm saying. But you're going to need to lean on something else, not just you, because you're the one that got yourself caught up in addiction. So obviously you don't have an answer. So you're going to have to come to God. Like, it's really nothing else to talk about for me. And I'm coming from a straight up addict, you know, like, no, I could not deliver myself. It was all of God who had to deliver me from whatever it was, because you're going to have to really be prayed up. You're going to have to lean in and lean on His word constantly, you know. And recovery is so possible. You're just going to have to learn to say no. And so basically, addicts don't know how to tell themselves no, which it's a form of pride. I'll be honest with you. You know, this is why some people fall into sexual addiction, because they just can't say no. Say no. And then make sure you're understanding what God has to say about that and why, you know, because you need to know everything ain't for you just because it's here. You know, just because, I mean, we can't go out here and eat every berry that's in the forest. It don't work like that. Everything's not for us to consume. It is what it is. There are some rules here, you know, and the rule is, if you keep on pouring alcohol into your body, you're going to die. Like, if you keep on doing drugs, you're going to die. Like, there's no way around it. And you're going to die sooner. And it's going to be painful, because your body's going to start to break down, because it's not meant for your body to digest these products. You know, God made everything for us. He didn't make, what is it? Whatever your favorite, you know, liquor is. He didn't make that. We made that. And then we get mad. Oh God, why am I sick? Why am I hurt? Why can't I let go of addiction? Well, I didn't make Hennessy. Turns out you made Hennessy. So it's like, we got to stop blaming God for things. You know what I'm saying? It's just absurd, you know? So, but we're going to need God to get out of addiction is the bottom line. You know, like I said, the brain eats whatever it eats, and it likes to have adventure, and it's exciting, and it likes to be stimulated, and, you know, endorphins kick in and serotonin levels go up and down, you know, and it's muscle memory too. Like, some people drink and they don't even like to drink. But it's just habitual, because they do it all the time or they're around. This is why they tell you, when you go to AA, you got to get away from the people you was around. Because some of y'all are just addicts because the people around you are addicts. You don't even want to be an addict. But because every day somebody turn up, every day somebody roll up, you know, you just in a circle. Hey, come on, we're going to smoke. For what? I don't even want to smoke. But because I come over here every day, I'm smoking with you, you know? So you got to get alone, and you got to get alone with God and see why you are addicted. There are so many reasons, from trauma to stress to just you trying to get an escape. You're trying to cope with grief, or you're just ashamed because something bad happened to you in your life and you're embarrassed, and you just keep coping by, you know, covering up with alcohol, covering it up with drugs. But there is a long-term effect for all of these things, and it's going to be destroying your liver, diabetes, brain defects, high blood pressure. It can affect your kids. You know what I'm saying? You ever been in the NICU and seen a baby addicted? They all strapped up, got all the hoses. Like, babies are born addicted, you know? I had one of my friends call me to a hospital. She was having a baby, and I was like, wow. It was weird to me because nobody was there. And then after the baby was born, I kid you not, 5 minutes later, the healthcare worker walked in, and she was like, I need to do a drug test. And I was like, wow. And if the baby, so my friend had been doing drugs, and her doctor knew, and if the baby had been born with drugs in her system, then she would have, I would have had to take a baby home. Like, wow. It's a deal. It's a real thing. And people, you know, stop playing games with your life and the next child's life. You know, it's not fair. No kid asked to come into this world addicted. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. I agree. And just to put some Bible on it, you know, we're going to talk about, I think a good scripture would be Psalms 34:18, where it says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those that who are crushed in the spirit. And I think that's what happens a lot of times when somebody's struggling in this area. I do feel like their spirit is crushed. I do feel like I say, they feel like they can't get up. They don't understand why they're being controlled constantly. And yes, you brought it up, Dice. You're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to fight to get your life back on track. You're going to have to fight to get your system clean to where you can get these, you know, the alcohol, the drugs, whatever you need to get out your system to get yourself back clean. And I would always argue, Dice, always, at least for me, a lot of times, absolutely, I enjoy getting high, but I think I did it out of boredom.
That's what I'm saying.
Like sometimes it's just recreational boredom. Like, I ain't doing nothing, pop a bottle. I ain't doing nothing, roll one up. Like, once I started getting other activities, to your point, I got involved in a local church to where we were doing outreach. We were doing community events. My time was taken up now where I was doing other things where I wasn't just sitting at home all day or sitting in the hood all day doing nothing.
Yeah. And it's tragic because pretty much you add this element to your life that it didn't need to be there, you know, and once it's there, now you will be fighting that the rest of your life. I don't care what you say. Like, you might not think about getting high or drinking every day if you are recovered. But yeah, your temptation, because the devil knows now. Oh no. Oh, I know you like this. Oh, you did that for 20 years. Oh, I know this. Ooh, I'm about to set you up. You know what I'm saying? I never forget when I was coming out of addiction, and this was just smoking weed, you know, and doing drugs. I told all my friends, I'm not getting high with you. Don't ask me. Like, I used to have to put it out there before they put me in a situation. Like, please let me know if you're smoking, because I'm not going. Like, I was so determined, like, this will not be my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember one day God revealed to me that I didn't know the last day I wasn't high. And that was a problem for me. That was a huge problem for me. I was like, wow. Because, you know, I was looking at my life. I'm like, it looks kind of out of control. And I was like, when was the last day you wasn't high? I couldn't remember. That's how I knew I had a problem.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I got a whole issue.
And that's good. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's important too as well. Get somebody in your circle who holds you accountable, whether you need to go to some type of and get a sponsor, or you just need to have a church leader or a family member. But yes, like you say, somebody has to hold you accountable to say, what you do today? Yeah. Where you was at?
Tell somebody.
If you really want to do this, you really want to go down this journey, you got to tell somebody.
Listen, and I'd say tell as many people as you can. Like, it needs to be
become a part of your testimony. The Bible is very specific. How we overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the more you give your story, trust me, other people who step up and say, man, I really appreciate you for telling me that. You know, like, I just needed to know that I could fight it the same way you fought it and are still fighting it.
People motivation.
Encouragement. Yeah. And you knowing that other people are struggling like you, it kind of changes your vibe too. You're like, man, I can't falter. Like, I was just thanking God, man. I was like, Lord, I'm so glad you brought me through every addiction before we had kids. You know what I'm saying? And like, my son was the trigger for me, because I was 2 months in getting high every day when I found out I was pregnant. And I was like, oh, Lord God, I hope you ain't got brain damage. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Like, you talk about praying, brother. And it was like, well, we keeping this baby. He might come out with 4 eyes and 3 legs and, you know, be an addict. And we just going to be getting high together.
Hey, let me tell you something. Babies was just different back. No, but I'm with you, though. But babies was just different, though. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gabble. Listen, we got to go to a break. We're coming back with closing thoughts on staying sober. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gabble. You tap back into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And listen, we appreciate y'all rocking with us again today. Interview we had today with our brother Da Vinci. Shouts out to my brother. Like, once again, he's a super talented singer, songwriter, stellar award-winning songwriter, singer, musician. And I'm excited for him. If you have not heard his latest project, his new EP, it's been out about a month now. It's called No Complaints. And it's really, I think it's a whole vibe, to be honest with you. I think anybody who likes, you know, likes like that urban R&B type vibe, you're going to like Da Vinci. He does a very good job of staying in the pocket. He's very melodic. So he sings. He has that the one song, Way Up, featuring Adia, that you know is a hit smash just because them two on the track, just murdering the track. But he also has the title of the album, No Complaints. I like that song too as well. It just it tells his testimony of everything he's went through and how he still is. Even in spite of everything he had to overcome, all the trials that may have came his way, he's still not going to complain because he knows God is faithful and God has been blessing him. And listen, he took a walk of faith. He literally relocated and moved and joined Pastor Mike Jr.'s church. That's how he even got connected with Pastor Mike Jr. and everything, like he said in the interview. But he took a leap of faith. He heard a word from God and God told him to move. And from there, yes, long and behold, he had no idea that he was going to be able to even join the praise team at Pastor Mike Jr.'s church, let alone be a part of a musician that travels with him. Let's be very clear. So that was something that he had no idea was going to happen. He was just, once again, we talk about submission all the time. When you get a revelation, it's something you just submit to it. You don't have to figure it out and have everything already like known. It's like, no, God said, I need you to move. You just need to move. And listen, this is a success story right here. Cause listen, he got Stellas now. He got all type of connections in the music industry now. He's connected to somebody that's constantly putting out great music. And now he's putting out great music. And we talked about this, Dice. I promise you, back in the day, backup singers were not putting out their own projects. So that just shows that, you know, the artist sees value in their backup singers now, and they're making sure, because Pastor Mike is behind them, Adia is behind them, which she's a backup singer for Pastor Mike Jr. too as well. And they support each other and they push each other. So shouts out to him. Go stream that project. Like I say, it's called No Complaints by Da Vinci. I got 5 songs on it, and they all pretty good. I like, like I say, Way Up, No Complaints. Those are probably the 2 favorites I have out of the the whole project. But it's a solid project. So, yeah, definitely go support my brother. Follow him on Instagram at the Da Vinci Code. You can follow him on Instagram and keep up with everything he got going on. Listen, that Real Real, we had to talk about, staying sober today a little bit, you know, and everything that goes into it. I'll be honest with you, that was a struggle for me. And I know you'll talk about yours too as well. Once I rededicated my life to God, I'll be honest with you. I told myself years ago, I used to be so ignorant. I say, I ain't gonna smoke weed till the day I die. I promise you, I used to say that. I used to like it was normal, like it was cool. I said, I'll stop drinking eventually because you know, it's all type of stuff to go, you know, your liver and your kidneys and stuff, mess, you know, that yak can mess you up. But I was like, I ain't seen nobody die from smoking weed. So I used to always say, I'm going to smoke weed. I'm going to be 80 years old with a cane. Yeah. Smoking me a doobie with an easy rider, easy rider and some doobies right next to me. So but I'm so grateful that God delivered me from that. I'm being honest.
Thank God for deliverance. Hallelujah, Lord.
Jesus. Sober. Talk about the dice. Staying sober.
Oh Lord, no, it's a challenge for those of you who are stuck in it. You know, I mean, and even for those who get delivered from being addicted, you still have challenges. You know, every now and then. You know, and it's. We only overcome by walking with the Lord. Like, that's it. You're not going to be able to do this by yourself. So I'm grateful that, and this is something you brought up, Focus, Christian recovery groups. I'm grateful that there are actual Christian recovery groups out there. And I just want to encourage you guys, because you can get delivered from any type of addiction by the power of God. I mean, I'm a witness, you know, I'm a walking witness who's testifying that it's you're going to have to give it to God, you know? But here are some centers that you could actually check up on and go to and get some information from. We have Christians in Recovery. It's a recovery group dedicated to the one-on-one sharing of hope, faith, and strength. As you're walking out your recovery, you have Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered recovery program. And the principles are based on biblical truths. And they do use the original 12-step program there. You have Alcoholics Victorious. It's another Christian support group, and Alcoholics for Christ. And so you have a couple of different groups you can choose from. And the phone number that you can call to get connected with these are 1-855-495-0259. Again, that's 1-855-495-0259. And then there's also actual recovery centers, and there's one that's pretty popular. It's the S2L group, recovery group, and they have centers all over the world. So if you feel like you need to actually go to a center and be there, at least you can be around like-minded, Christ-centered, faith-filled individuals at S2L Recovery. And their phone number is 1-888-871-0934. Again, S2L Recovery is 888-871-0934. So there's some great resources out there that are biblically based, you know, based off the Bible, based off of God's word, that help you to dig in into your recovery, but also fill you up and give you the strength that you need from the Bible. So
That's good.
I hope that helps somebody.
Yes, I pray that helps somebody too as well. Please, if you need the help, please go get the help you need. I think the first step is recognizing that you have an addiction, that you, when you talk about some type of substance abuse or some type of alcohol addiction, you have to realize that you have a problem. Go get the help you need. Stop running from, you know, doing the things you need to do to get yourself back in purpose, because I really believe that's a trick of the enemy. When you talk about him keeping you off track or keeping you high, keeping you drunk all day, so you can't still stay focused on what God wants you to do. Listen, we got to get out of here. Go be great today, kings and queens. I promise you, have a great Tuesday. Tap in with us tomorrow. Let's be very clear. We got a real one. Dice got a real talk conversation tomorrow. I promise you, you're going to want to hear. She's going to bring that Bible out a little bit more tomorrow. So be also ready for the word to be delivered on Wisdom Wednesday. Our brother will be joining us tomorrow too as well, Cross, for the spiritual detox. So listen, go be great today. Remember to stay focused on turning your negative and being into a positive. Woo! Remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.